Jordan Fleagle. Back at you. Nice and early in the morning. Friday, hangover edition. This is a big one, Jordan. Last night, as we're recording this Friday morning, obviously, Canada reigned supreme once again in the hockey world. I celebrated with one, two, three, maybe seven or eight
Labatt Blues. How many Canadians?
And it felt right, man. Awesome game. Connor McDavid in overtime, very, very poetic for him to score that one. Give us the gold, or whatever the fuck, the cup, the Four Nations Cup. Yeah, whatever. It was awesome. Sick game. But yeah, after all that shit that went down, man, super stoked that Canada was able to pull this one out. And now we don't have to worry about hockey for another year until the Olympics.
Sort of true, Matt. But I like how the Leafs that participated in this tournament looked, especially last night. Mitch Marner, two big assists. Obviously, Austin Matthews involved there. He was robbed by Binnington a few times at the end. Thank God.
He sucked most of the tournament.
He did. But yeah, but we will put hockey on ice for a little bit.
You did it.
And but I do. You know, I don't want to. Again, I'm not saying the J word. I don't want to talk about it now, but. I've just got a feeling about the Leafs. And you can't claim the Leafs anymore, Matt. Just so you know, you got the Red Wings. You've made your bed. Yeah, shout out Jordan Binnington, man. Jesus Christ. I don't know why he just decided to look like prime Brodeur there in overtime. The glove saves are just, just incredible stuff. And yeah, wow. It really did feel like if we lost that game, we were about to be taken over. Like it would be today, we'd be, the flags would be coming down. Trump would be in Ottawa saying something. So I'm glad we saved our asses there a little bit. I really don't want to be considered an American. I think I would have to leave the continent. Thank God. Shout out Jordan Binnington. Owen Sound Attack, which I didn't know. You told me that fact. Former Owen Sound Attack. So shout out
on
the boys in red.
He was on the team when they won the OHL championship. The only time the Owen Sound Attack ever won it.
Let's go.
It's a big one. Me and him are still Facebook friends. Maybe I should have shot him a message.
He saved our fucking asses.
He saves Jordan. that was a good game you had, buddy. But it's Big Gumball Talk. Matt Eichler, Jordan Fleagle, talk about the NBA. And not a ton to talk about in this week's pod based on, no real games going on except for Thursday night. There was quite a few throughout. And, the Charlotte Hornets ended up getting a little sneaky win over the Lakers on Wednesday night.
Yes.
Luka Doncic.
Mark Williams revenge.
A rough start. Yes, Mark Williams revenge game. I believe he was the highest rebounder on the Lakers, had five boards, and Mark Williams ended up having nine. So that's interesting.
Yep.
Some food for thought there, LA. But first and foremost, we got to talk about it. Victor Wembanyama out for the frickin' season, man. I'm not going to say the fuck word. Out for the season with a deep vein thrombosis in his right shoulder. I've actually looked into this a little bit. This is the exact same, I guess you'd call it an injury, ailment that affected Brandon Ingram way, way back, 5-6 years ago. And then he ended up coming back and winning the most improved player. So it's not like this is a super, devastating injury to, into your future of your career to suffer. But this is pretty crazy, just kind of out of nowhere, for this to happen. Like, he looked completely fine during the All-Star weekend. They make the trade for De'Aaron Fox, and we kind of think, oh, maybe they're trying to make that push for that play-in spot. And now we are looking down the barrel of the Spurs maybe kind of tanking out for the rest of the season, because De'Aaron Fox is a great player, but I don't really know if they've got a supporting cast that's good enough to have him go in there and still win games with this loaded Western Conference. So yep. I'm uh, I feel bad for the Spurs, but on the other side of it, you know, I think people have been pointing out the last time that a superstar big man went down due to injury, to they ended up doing pretty well in the lottery draft. So we'll see how that ends up shaking out for them. But devastating news here for Spurs fans that were hoping to see some playoff basketball this year.
Yeah, 100%. And I don't think it's happening without him. I mean, I know that's not a hot take, but I'm sure some people could make the argument like, oh, you got De'Aaron Fox, you've got a decent team, you've got those vets still in there that you brought in, you could maybe still make the push. Number one, I don't think you can do it, even if you went full out, everyone else remained healthy and you got a good, you know, back half of the season from Fox even. Like, I just don't think the defense is going to hold up. You don't have the shot making either. It's still a relatively young team. And on the second part of that is, I don't think it's worth it, because best case you do kind of sneak in, but you're not even getting any playoff experience for Wemby, which is the whole point of this. Everyone knows that the Spurs aren't winning around. They aren't winning the championship. It was all about getting Wemby in those big games, getting him that experience, getting him a taste of that type of basketball so he can come back. So if you're not even going to get that, I would say absolutely just go the other way, because now it kind of makes with him out, you know, you obviously don't want to see Wemby go down ever. But the fact that through this part of the season, you're only 24-29 and one game in the win column above the Blazers, for God's sake, like, it kind of makes this season a little bit easier to swallow. If you can now swap it, you know, you have De'Aaron Fox now going into the future and you're just going to do one more big tank. And then, you know, you could get with the flattened odds, like you could get someone really, really nice in there as one more piece next to Wemby, which I think, like, sneakily the Spurs might need long term. Like, I've been an advocate, I think you and I both have, of putting some vets in there, like especially with the De'Aaron Fox move, like trying to outfit this team a little bit more for like a win now situation. But if you're looking at their young guys, we don't really believe, we've been pretty vocal, we don't really believe in any of these, like, sort of the guys that they've had left over from before Wemby, like the Devin Vassell and Keldon Johnson. Like, I don't think, I think those guys are role players at their core. And you look at their other young guy who they really believe in, Stephon Castle, he's never going to be like a great offensive guy. He's going to be like a glue guy that's, I think, going to, you know, I think he's got like a Derek Whitey type ceiling as like a player. He's never going to be like a, 1A or like second best scorer on a championship team. So I think they could use one more sort of guy with that type of ceiling in there to play in between Wemby and Castle. And then you've kind of got, you know, a really good young youthful foundation going forward. Because the other thing when that you and I both pointed out too, when the De'Aaron Fox trade happened, it's like, De'Aaron Fox is 27. You're going to have to pay him, and then you're going to be in a tough spot, like especially when, if you're on Wemby's next contract as well, where you're not going to have that much flexibility. It is so crucial. You look at teams like the Thunder and you know, any team in recent history that's made it all the way to the finals and won. You need guys on cheap deals and on rookie contracts who are contributing before your team gets too expensive. So for all those reasons, yeah, I think you can obviously this is devastating news for the Spurs, and hopefully this doesn't turn into a long term thing with Wemby. And they seem to think it's an isolated thing. And like you said, Ingram came back from it. Hopefully that's all good. And this year they can, just make that quick pivot. It's not out of the question. Like, if they were further up in the standings, it would be hard to make this decision, I think. But just go full out tank for the back half. Yep. Get as high of a, you know, as high of a percentage at a nice sort of lottery pick as you can. And then I do actually think that kind of sets you up nicely going into the future, because, you know, you get a nice rookie in there that doesn't impact the cap space, the flexibility that you otherwise would have had in this offseason to keep outfitting this team, like moving pieces around, bringing in more veteran guys. In looking at it from that perspective, if Wemby had to go down, this is a good season and a good spot for it to happen for the Spurs, I think. And they can take advantage of it.
Well, and it's crazy too, that like, if he's going to go down and you look at the Western Conference and you're like, oh yeah, the Trailblazers would probably jump him, you know, only 2.5 games back from there. You know, we'll see how that goes. And then, if you're bottom three in the West, you know, you'd probably be close to top 5, top 6 in the lottery odds. Mm-hmm. Nope. The Spurs, unless they completely fall off here, which, you know, is still possible. But like as of right now, man, they'd be behind, obviously, the Jazz, the Pelicans, and, you know, in this hypothetical, I'm going to say the Blazers get ahead of them in the win-loss column. But the Jazz and the Pelicans, they'd be behind. But in the fucking Eastern Conference, man,
<I know.
laughs> they'd still be behind six other teams in lottery odds. Like, that's the craziest part of this, because it is, like, I do think that...
But luckily, you can jump with the flattened odds. You can jump. Like,
yes,
you know,
exactly.
It's not how it used to be. But you're right. It's not guaranteed.
But I think that it's just interesting because, again, like I'm no Matt Acorn MD by any means. But I don't know of like what the severity of like the blood clot issue in the shoulder really like means. You know what I mean? Like I don't know if they were like you said, if they were in a better position here, if they were more of a firm play in or just play off team top six, I think that they probably would have tried to get him back. I do think that this is one of those times where a team gets a guy that, you know, is either a key member of the rotation. They're not really sure if they've got the stuff, the intangibles to make that playoff run. So they're kind of like, you know what, we shut them down. We'll get a better draft pick. It doesn't really matter. We've seen enough. Because this is also a big one. Like, Victor Wembanyama was going to win Defensive Player of the Year now.
Yep.
That's not
He's
happening.
Out. Nope. Doesn't meet the threshold.
So I mean, that's completely wide open. I believe right now I've seen, like, the betting odds have Triple J and Evan Mobley kind of duking it out, which will be interesting. But it is sad because, again, like, this was, you know, an awesome season from Wembanyama, and, you know, we've been really enjoying seeing all the crazy shit that he's been doing, that alien. So it's definitely disappointing to not really see him get his roses, get his due in the end of the season. And on top of that, I do think that, you know, you go out there and you spend to get De'Aaron Fox, and now you don't really get to build that camaraderie and that chemistry. What did they get, like 6-7 games together? Not even?
Nope.
I do think that is a bit tough to swallow for Wembanyama and the Spurs, and, you know, with the Fox only on the 1 year left on that deal. They're really going to have to try and make the most of the offseason to figure out how these two can work together. Because we were already a little bit skeptical on how that fit would go. And I wouldn't really say so far that I've seen, you know, Fox and Wemby be this dynamic duo that, you know, the Spurs front office thought maybe it would be. So hopefully he can come back better than ever, and they can get some offseason training and going together, because all their success is going to depend on the two of them finding a way to make it work.
Yeah, 100%. And it would have been nice to have this little part of a season. Like, again, I don't think that chemistry would have fully come together this year, even if they played every remaining game. But then that sets you up really nicely for next year, because it's like you do have a bit of a foundation going into training camp. You know, you've both had sort of long rests over the summer, hopefully, to sort of get right and get ready. And so now they're kind of going to be going into that blind. I mean, I don't know how long Wemby's going to be just flat out of, you know, commission for, you know, even practicing, doing anything like that. We'll see. Like you said, it's not clear how severe this is. Obviously the Spurs are kind of playing it off, but like it could be, I don't know where on the scale it falls, because yeah, they could just be saying, look, there's no point. We might as well not risk it and shut him down. Mm-hmm. Or it could be more serious than they're letting on. But yeah, they're going to have to really now say, yeah, hopefully we get as high of a draft pick as possible here, go into the summer, make some changes, and then I think you've set yourself up now. I mean, with this happening and with De'Aaron Fox, you know, that acquisition and the fact that the Spurs fans, you know, they're not going to get a taste of the playoffs or the play-in this year, I think now it's going to be high expectations next year for the Spurs to come in and actually like be a playoff team. I would say, like, I know that's a kind of a big jump, but it's kind of like the jump that the Thunder took a couple years ago, where they were just in the play-in, lost, and then came back last year and were great right away. I think that's kind of where your expectations are at now when you trade for a guy like De'Aaron Fox, and you have Wemby who's ready to win. But yeah, I just hope ultimately, like, we can talk about all of that stuff. I hope Wemby's good and this doesn't become a lingering thing, because I know, you know, the Ingram situation is the good part of this, and I don't know if this is the same thing, but remember Chris Bosh had some vascular type of issue towards the end of his career that kind of ended it early. I know he was an older guy. So I hope it's more on the Ingram end of things than that, because you never know. Like this could, I mean, it's essentially like a blood clot. Like if that's something that he's just prone to and it spreads to different parts, like God forbid, like I really hope that's not the case, because ultimately when with Wemby, injuries were such a big concern. I want to give him credit. He's been so good at staying healthy. Like he hasn't turned ankles. He hasn't like, you know, done any of this stuff injury wise that we've been worried about sort of on the court with him. So I hope this isn't like a situation where he's just got bad luck and this thing like fucking in your veins literally is what keeps you off the court. And I hope he can come back next year and look just as good as he has this year. So yeah, get well soon.
Well, we will monitor Wembanyama and all of his potential setbacks, step forwards, and all of his updates throughout this recovery process as we go into the offseason, since we will not be seeing the alien for the rest of the 2024-25 season.
Sucks.
Yeah, definitely brutal. Moving on, a big blow here for a contender out in the Eastern Conference. The Milwaukee Bucks are going to be without Bobby Portis for 25 games, essentially the rest of the regular season. Yeah. We'll be able to come back for the playoffs. But Bobby Portis, suspended 25 games, and originally, you know, it just comes out, violates the anti-drug policy here in the NBA. And, initially when I see it, I'm like, oh, alarm bell's ringing. Are we talking roids? Are we talking marijuana?
Yeah.
That evil devil drug? Or something crazy. This one is a very odd one. Right away, Bobby Portis' agent, his team, released a big written thing saying that Bobby Portis unintentionally took pain medication that was called Tramadol when he thought he was taking
not the Toradol. Tramadol. Oh, shit.
So it was literally a name confusion. I guess his assistant didn't know that the one substance was banned. They both work similarly, but one is approved by the NBA and one isn't. And I guess he took a couple tramadols instead of toradols, and now he's suspended for 25 games.
Yeah,
it is a little much, in my opinion. He didn't fucking go out there and do fucking crack.
Hey, hold on, Matt. This is Adam Silver's NBA. He doesn't let anything slide. Okay, he'd throw that hammer down.
Yeah, unless you're Kevin Porter Jr., you can bust your girlfriend's face into a billion pieces, and then you get zero game suspensions and zero fines. Ridiculous. Yeah, that makes sense. I think this is kind of bullshit. Like, sure, you can give, he violates the policy, you can give him 2-3 game suspension or something. 25 games? That's like, insane. That is actually fucking nuts.
What did Ron Artest get for the Malice at the Palace? I think it was a long time.
I think it was the remainder of the year, season,
but like, come on. What do guys get when they get in? Like the aside from that, like the biggest brawls that we've seen, 25 games. What did Jaw get for doing all his shit? I think that was around that, wasn't it?
Games? It was pretty close. It was close. Kyrie, when he did, did Kyrie actually get suspended when he shared the link and he had all the weird tweets and everything going on? The anti-vaccine. Not,
but something. He got some discipline somehow. But this just feels like, this feels like top tier punishment, like compared to all the other crazy shit that's happened. Crazy to me.
Well, and on top of all that, he's getting fined like he's losing out on his game checks. He's not even getting paid, so he's gonna be out. I'm looking at it right here, $114,000 a game. So he's gonna end up losing just under $3 million from the suspension. Like,
and he's not
that's
on.
Gotta
he's
make
not
you
a,
sick.
He's not on that big of a contract. I mean, he's living fine, but he's not on a supermax.
No. It's just, I do think that, I get the policies there, and so, this just falls into it. I'm sure that they just have, a default, set amount of games that you are suspended for breaking a rule like this. But, when you look for the Bucks here, Bobby Portis, not having his best season of his career by any means, but he's still one of their, top four, top five best guys on their team. And now you're going to be without him. Now this makes the Kyle Kuzma signing actually look a little bit better, because at least you have another body, a guy who can play that same kind of position, bring that energy off the bench. otherwise, yeah, this would be tough because they've not been able to kind of maintain consistent play this season. You know, they got the Pistons breathing down their necks. They're behind the Pacers now for the four seed. Like they're not even a home court team right now in the first round of the playoffs. So this is a really big blow for them to suffer. And then the other side of things is that Shams comes out and says that with the, you know, this news kind of goes part and parcel. Giannis Antetokounmpo, if the Bucks can't win, then he might not want to be there anymore, which is crazy because, again, he always kind of came off to me like one of those guys that is just going to be a Buck for life. Like I thought maybe before he signed that last extension that, you know, he was actually going to be interested in, you know, trying to, test out other suitors, see what's out there, try and win somewhere else. But, you know, and then he resigned, so it looks like he was going to be, you know, happy in Milwaukee. That's where his career was going to go. But now, I mean, you know, they trade his buddy Chris Middleton, and things are not looking great. And I think that there might be a little bit of trouble in paradise here in Milwaukee right now. And I think that this time it might actually be legit.
Yeah, I mean, the Giannis situation has been looming now for years. You know, he obviously signed the extension after, like you said, all that speculation, all that hope. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you know, him and Masai go back pretty far. There's a Greek there's a Greek community in Toronto. They always come out and support him. I really thought it was happening, but you know, it's not looking that way. But yeah, I think like you look at the core. I mean, well, also quickly, just my final thoughts on Bobby Portis too before we move on to Giannis. Mm. Like, yeah, I think it's just. It's ridiculous to give him 25 games. Even if they gave him 10, I would be like, really? 10 games for taking a little bit? Like, I saw someone on Twitter saying this thing he took that's on the banned substance list. This is some, like, doctor or someone saying, like, I don't even give those pills that he takes to people because you don't even feel the effects. Like, they're not strong enough, these painkillers. So, like, I don't know how... Like, if that's true, why exactly? I would like to know why exactly they are banned on the substance list. Like, what exactly do they do that's performance enhancing? Like, do they?
Well, and it's not even for like, it's like anti-inflammatory.
Right. So it's like, I don't understand the thinking behind it. Again, I'm no Jordan MD either. There might be a good reason for it, but again, if it's
maybe we should get our MDs.
It would be fun. If there's a, like reason behind it, fine. But like, I cannot understand why it's a 25 game penalty there. So yeah, I think that's way too overzealous. Like you said, there's a lot of fucking shit that goes on in the NBA that guys do, you know, domestic violence, sort of the biggest one that just goes, the league just turns a blind eye to it for some reason. And to have them come down hard on something that seems so innocuous and just not a big deal like this, just, again, this is Adam Silver's fucking league, whatever. But I think it's stupid. But yeah, for Giannis, like Brooke Lopez is now 36 years old. And I've been saying now for years, it's going to be really hard for the Bucks to transition from the old championship winning core around Giannis to the new to a new team that he can still lead going into sort of the back half of his prime, because like the Middleton and Lopez, they're going to break down way before Giannis does. They've already traded Drew away, as we know. Dame is now getting up there in age and can't perform used to. Like, so and so now Giannis is sitting there like, Jesus, we have pushed all of our chips in to get all these older guys. Once these guys start either playing badly, which we've already seen, or we're trading them away, or they're like getting fucking surgeries on both ankles like Chris Middleton, who do I have left? Like, there's no young guys on the Bucks that can run with Giannis. Like, he's still now and has been for years, like the real only athletic guy on that team. You know, there's just Giannis, a bunch of kind of mid shooting type players, the Torian Princes of the world and Pat Connaughton's. And then, old aging sort of stars, if you can call Lopez a star, but certainly in the case of Dame. So it's, I've felt like there's gonna be tension. Like they keep kicking the can down the road. It's like, look, we got you Dame Lillard, one of the best 75 of all time. That hasn't really worked. They've looked better this year, whatever. That hasn't really worked. And then it's like, okay, we're gonna switch out this coach. We're gonna get Adrian Griffin in there. That obviously crashed and burned last year. And yeah, you've just got, I mean, this Portis situation is just another kind of, you know, the cherry on top. That's I'm sure not going to make Giannis very happy either, but like, mm-hmm. yeah, it's coming to a head. And I think there's only so much when Giannis looks around him and he sees guys like Kevin Durant changing teams, LeBron changed teams multiple times. Like we're in that era. I don't think Giannis has any reason to be like, no, I'm going to stick it out. I'm going to be like Dirk and just stay here and hope for a 2011 type run in a few years when, we're just going to get lucky. Like I think he's one of those guys who really is obsessed with winning and will say, look, Milwaukee took a chance on me, drafted me outside the lottery. I've been here my entire career. I gave the city a championship. I don't think he's going to have any problem saying, look, I want to go somewhere else where I can win. We've tried this because it'll also give, you know, when you have that sort of relationship between star and city and he's able to say, look, I want to go somewhere else, like with enough time, like, I don't think he's going to straight up screw them over. I think he's going to be pretty honest with them. Like mm-hmm. then it gives the Bucks actually a chance to reset. I mean, how many times have we seen like the organization pay their star? You look at Kobe, you look at Dirk's last years, you look at even Steph now, you could argue, depending on how things go. Mm-hmm. It's like when an organization holds on tight to these stars as they age and they're just not able to fill out the team and get a championship team around them, it kind of sets them up for the future badly. But like if you can sort mm-hmm. of get ahead of it, and the Mavericks, I think, got too ahead of it. But, if you can now in this Giannis situation say, look, we're not going to, I don't think we're going to do it again. Let's see what sort of haul we can get. If you can trade him away, to another team with enough time, then you can actually set yourself up better for the future than if you just, you know, held on to him just for the sake of it. So we're not there yet. I think the Bucks still could potentially make a deep playoff run if they're fully healthy this year, depending on what happens. But it's looking like something like that is going to happen. Giannis is going to say in the next year or so, look, get me out of here, whether that's publicly or privately. I think he's still got so much left to give, but it's proving hard for the Bucks to, maneuver and get new guys in there. If Kyle Kuzma is your best sort of quote unquote young signing or trading guy you've traded for over the last few years, it does kind of signal a problem here.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think that, you know, maybe this can also be used as like maybe some motivation for the Bucks here, the rest of the team, the organization, for Giannis to say, you know, if we're not winning, I don't want to be here. Maybe that is that kick in the ass that you need to be like, oh shit, well, we got to go now. If not only are we gonna not win the championship, like Giannis leaves, that's a huge blow to suffer. So hopefully that kind of gives them some sort of resurgence of energy that makes them really want to make this push. But this roster certainly is not built for the future. Nope. And they don't really have any trade pieces to gamble with here.
That's the problem.
So I'd still appreciate the guys who stick around with the team that drafted them, gave them a shot, and really built their careers with them. But at the end of the day, it's a business, and I think that in this case, like, Giannis has certainly paid his dues on this team. Like I don't think that like there's other guys who you see them move on from their teams and flip in free agency or demand a trade that you're kind of like, you're being a bit of a diva.
Yep.
I don't really think Giannis falls into that
I don't at
category.
All.
I
he brought yeah, them I, a championship. I, he won a championship.
No, like, yeah, exactly. And I feel like they've gotten kind of away with a lot of other little lenient things here and there throughout his tenure that I don't think a lot of other stars would have dealt with. I think maybe that's also some international flavor to his personality. I think some of these other teams would have probably not got so lucky with these American players, a little bit more of divas typically.
Yep.
So I do think this is actually the finally the time that we can monitor this and say, you know what, the Giannis era in Milwaukee might finally be up.
Like,
it would be weird, but
yeah. Do you think if they don't win this year, which I don't think anyone's really giving them a realistic chance to actually win the championship this year, that they could win it next year? Like if they just run it back, like
I think it'll be worse next year.
Well, that's what I mean. To me, it's this year or nothing. And then I think about that as well. Then it's definitely nothing because they're not winning this year. And they have no maneuverability, flexibility to change that much next year. Everyone's a year older. So, it's kind of snuck up on all of us pretty fast, but I think it might be over for these boys.
Yeah. Well, I mean, hell, you trade Giannis to Brooklyn or OKC, you can get like four or five first round picks. Miami, I mean, that's the crazy thing.
Miami's been lurking too.
Yep. There are teams out there that could set you up nicely.
And this is what I mean. It's better for the Bucks. Like, if you're thinking about strictly from a team building, like what's best for your organization, I think this is a mistake a lot of these teams make. When you get to this point, it's like, oh, we can't even think about, you know, trading Giannis, like not unless he asks, like yada, yada, yada. If the writing's on the wall that he would be okay with being traded, like it's better for you. It's so much better if you get out ahead of this a little bit and say, be honest with yourself, say, we're not winning again with this guy. He's been great. You know, his tenure has been great, but let's send him off and make this like an amicable split, get what we can for him while his value is still high. And then move forward rather than, sometimes you just got to let go. If you're holding on too tight, you know, your knuckles are turning white. It's just, you're doing more harm than good. So, we might be approaching that here with Giannis soon. So we will see.
Hell, you know, with this one, it's, you know, you kind of look at it and you're like, maybe Giannis for whoever wins the draft lottery, would they give up, the first overall pick? For Giannis, I don't know. Maybe
the Hawks, let's say, I'm thinking of middling teams. You know, who would kind of mean? Would Detroit or I mean, would Washington? Would they say, look, we'll give you our top pick here for Giannis? It's an interesting proposal because once again, we're talking about Giannis as if he's like kind of over the hill. Giannis is still in the MVP conversation, for God's sake. He's still in the argument for like top three player in the league currently. And you know, I know he's got his injury concerns, but yeah, he could change the fortunes of a lot of other teams for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, let us know what you think about Giannis Antetokounmpo wanting potentially out of Milwaukee if they cannot seem to string together some wins here. Also, let us know what you think of what would you prefer to abuse, Tramadol or Toradol? Let us know at Big Dog Ball Talk, X, Instagram,
you get executed,
Facebook
if you
for you old heads.
The wrong one.
Yes, and also don't forget about the TikTok.
Yes,
we will be back on Monday. Until then, this has been Big Dog Ball Talk. By the way, Jordan Flegel, as my good friend Jordan always says.
Just a quick RIP/shout out to LeVar Ball's foot, which is now somewhere in a trash can. I don't know what they do with feet that they
can never
amputate.
Pivot. Yes. They feed it to the they give it to the old junkyard dog.
But you know what?
Guarding the parking lot.
He was smiling in the photo. Hopefully, all is good. That's pretty crazy. I would not want my foot amputated. I don't know if that's just me, but
I think I'd rather have a foot than a hand amputated, though.
Yeah, I'd say so. Yes,
you get one of those Oscar Pistorius little duck bill, whatever the duck bill, duck feet. Duck, you know, feet. What I'm talking about. You can run real fast.
Yes, exactly. But rip to that, also I mean, this is a great weekend for us, Matt. We've got another retreat coming up, excited for that. Some sort of nice relaxation for the whole Big Dog Ball Talk team.
Yes, hopefully it'll be very relaxing, maybe we'll find a way to we'll brainstorm some ideas for the barball to get his foot back.
Yes.